firstly, thanks to Lizzie and Rob for joining us to chat about space touring, which is quite an amazing piece of work. Lizzie, the first thing to ask you as one of the students involved in this is, what was it actually like for you creating this kind of work, you know, during the kind of COVID pandemic, which makes things pretty tricky, doesn't it?
Yes. Just a big yes on that. It was interesting because I did more of the editing side of that. So that is all electronically anyway. But the actual day of recording and things, that was really strange because we could only have so many people in the room at the same time. So we weren't recording start to beginning. We were doing little bits here, bits there to try and have like as minimal contact with each other and things like that. So that was a bit of a weird process, not being able to actually sit with your classmates whilst doing the day recording and things like that.
And how many characters altogether are in the performance?
Ooh.
About?
It's about 10, I would say. Okay. Would you say that, Rob?
I reckon around 10, yeah.
Around 10, yeah.
So I'm just thinking about how I would do this. So I suppose you kind of worked on you were able to get your main characters together in the room. I suppose you do it that way, were you? Yeah.
Yeah. So we had three microphones. So you could have three people recording at a time kind of thing. And then ensemble work. So we had obviously the main person singing the song on one microphone. And then we had like smaller groups on the two other microphones. We had to sort of put them together at times and choose like the best one. And then that's how we made the songs.
Yeah.
So even that was completely different to how it would have been usually, because we would have just put everyone in the same room and just done it all together.
Yeah, which would have been a lot nicer, but you know, that's not the kind of year we've had on 2 years that we've had really. What about I suppose you have to clean the mics. Did you in between takes and all this kind of stuff? You had all those kind of practicalities to deal with and change.
So we had Andrew Gwilliam, he was sort of in charge of between each group. So we weren't actually in the room for that bit, but I assume that's what he was doing in between each group and things.
So he's a good chap to have on board. He knows his stuff inside out and backwards, you know. I mean, my background, as Rob probably knows, is in professional radio. So I work, you know, BBC commercial and recently community radio. So, and I'm interested in your role as the kind of the editor, so I suppose, stroke producer, really. Tell us about, you know, the challenges that you identified of doing this as pure audio. And I'm sure there are also advantages. I would see advantages. But what was it like, you know, capturing this large, almost an hour's worth of content as pure audio?
So I think the hardest thing was it was written as a play. So there was very visual based transitions. So like in a car, going into a club. And then the difference, because it's half in space, partly on Earth, just trying to get the difference, like in an audio, how do you define Earth and space just with sounds?
Yeah, great question.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So I try to use the same background noise for set areas of, so I had like the set background noise for any pub scenes, I had the same background noise for any Simone Cowell in the Office scenes, and trying to keep some sort of repetition so people could think that's this sound, we're back to this place.
That's clever.
So for me, that was the hardest thing, and trying to make that make sense. And then obviously each artistic brain is different, so if it made sense in my head, it might not have made sense in someone else's head. So that constant cycle of trying to find the right balance and not overdo it, but also try and keep quite a few location-based scenes, but all audio-based. So that was really interesting, that one.
I mean, the really interesting concept is the concept of space, you know, because I can't remember which movie it was, but the strap line in space, no one can hear you scream. You can turn that strap line on its head and say, in space, no one knows what it actually sounds like, apart from people who've maybe been to space. So it gives you that creative freedom, doesn't it, to interpret it your way, you know?
Yeah. And also trying to find enough things that are also like royalty-free, copyright-free and all of that.
Yeah.
Because we have to keep it, obviously, within so many guidelines as well. So trying to tick all those boxes, as well as trying to make it actually make sense when it is meant to be like a visual drama.
Sorry, Lizzie, were you including much Foley on this? Were you recording your own sounds as well?
I started off recording some of my own sounds, but they just never sounded as good as pre-recorded sounds. Yeah. So I did a lot of editing pre-recorded sounds to make them my own version of it instead. And that turned out to be more successful than actually trying to record my own sounds in a house, in a student house, in lockdown with very limited things.
Yeah, no, I understand that. You know, in other circumstances, maybe in the future, maybe you can
explore it
more, you know, because
folks yes.
are wonderfully kind of creative, you know, territory.
Yeah.
I've got a question which I want to ask, and I'll ask you first as a student, Lizzie, and then I'll come on to Rob with it, but I'm sure you'll give me an interesting answer. the concepts, if you like, of to a certain extent, panto, but most interestingly, perhaps, is this idea of space disco.
Yes.
For the uninitiated, what's that about?
So that was a bit of an interesting one for us because it's not what we expected either. So that was a bit interesting. And then obviously it was completely different to anything we'd done before as well. So just like learning that style of songs, that was quite fun because it was something that none of us had done before. And then obviously when we first got the script, it was maybe we can do this in person. So then we talked about like costume and things like that and how we can make it really like colourful, like shiny leather costumes and things like that. And then going back and then how we made the same level of, it's quite energizing, some of the songs. So trying to create that same level, but within audio then, that was then quite fun, that process.
Yeah, I a very obvious question. Who is the writer?
The writer.
Writers?
Let Lizzie answer, then I'll answer.
Yeah, okay.
I might need you to answer that one, Rob, because I can't. Is it Chris?
It's actually it's an interesting question because it's a team of writers. Naked Citizens is the short answer, which is three of us who write together. Dan Nichols and Chris Walker, both of whom are ex-Railroad Bill and Punk's Not Dad, and myself. We've put an album out under the name Naked Citizens, where it's got 12 different songs and every song has a different singer and every song's in a slightly different style. And one of them was space disco. And so we've written the songs, and then the actual story was hammered out by the writer Jenny Allen and Dan Nichols, and then Jenny Allen went away and scripted it, but she scripted it so it could be quite open, so it could be performed as a film or could be performed live, because we didn't, when we were writing it, obviously it's a long process, we didn't know where we were going to be at the performance time, which was just before Christmas. So we had to try and be flexible. In the end, we couldn't even film it because the COVID restrictions made that pretty impossible, and the accessibility to green screen was not there, just because everybody wanted to be in there and it's a tiny room and you just can't do that. You can't get a lot of people in a tiny room at the same time. So in the end, we had to do it as audio. I'm really pleased because I love audio. I love radio. It's probably my favorite medium. I'm a massive fan of Radio 4 and podcasts and things like that. So I was happy to do it in as radio in the end, but I think it's a bit of a culture shock for some of the people who were writing with me and some of the students, because I don't think they'd sort of got their heads around it before we embarked on the radio version. And also Steve Fisher, who's the director, had to adapt some of the bits of some bits so they'd work on radio, you know, because obviously you need to be given audio clues rather than visual clues. And another level of complexity was added by one of our students being stuck. Well, not, I'm not saying stuck, but she couldn't get back from Poland for the entire academic year. So she was doing the whole course remotely from Poland. And but and some of the things that we wanted to show as newscasts in a film, or as kind of interpolations, media interpolations, if we'd have done it live, we just had to do those as audio. And so Zuzu, who's in Poland, had to write and record those herself. So that was an extra layer that went in. So when you say who wrote it, it's quite a complicated answer, but
yeah,
lots of
many
people.
Many people.
I mean, obviously, I love the fact that it's sound only, you know, the stuff that I do. I just want to ask Lizzie, it's an interesting what Rob said there. So originally, it would have been visual, and you can see how, in a way, it's more kind of straightforward in a lot of ways, actually, visually. You know, you see it, there it is. But when you have to create stuff with the sound, how do you think now, looking back on it, how do you think it's worked as a process of imaginative and creative kind of content construction?
So for me, I haven't done anything like this before. So this is like completely new to me, but it did make you think more very, very logically. So the first scene, they're driving in a car, listening to the radio, which if you were just doing it as a player, you'd four chairs, you'd just sit and go like that, wouldn't you? Like, but I was thinking, well, actually, no. So I need the sound of a car. But if they're going past in the car, it needs to be different volumes. So the car needs to get louder and crescendo. Mm. And if they're turning on the radio, then I need the noise of them literally tuning in the radio. So each individual tiny, tiny step, which you don't necessarily think about when you're acting, because you just do it autopilot. But each little tiny sound, like the tuning of the radio and then the catching of the song that it goes into and the different car doors, because there's three or four people in the car. So I need three or four different shutting your car door sounds overlaying. So yeah, you have to dissect each individual part of each scene and just to make sure that you've got it in to make it make sense. So it made me definitely use my brain more than I would usually, because you just don't think about that on a normal.
No, no. And radio is one of those things which, it's been, apparently it's been dead for about 30 years. You know, I've been in the industry ever since, so I don't know if it's dead really, but this myth put about, this urban myth, actually, radio is bigger in Wales, in fact, than anywhere else in the whole of the UK, interestingly. But, I would say, Rob won't be surprised, I think radio makes the best pictures.
Yeah.
I would argue that. And it's lovely when students, like, it seemed, Lizzie, when you get that, and I hope that you, that stays with you moving forward, you know. Rob, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the combination of space, disco and panto, which is an unusual combination, yeah?
I don't think so, not as much as you'd think.
Because, no, really? Okay.
You're probably, like me, old enough to remember the original space disco, the 70s.
I'm with you, yeah.
Artists like D.D. Jackson and Sarah Brightman, Hot Gossip, and those incredibly camp, very highly costumed videos that came out to promote the Space Touring singles. And actually, D.D. Jackson did a kind of concept album, a Space Touring concept album, not Space Touring, that's us, a sort of space disco concept album with a kind of really cobbled together plot. So we were taking cues from that, really, but it was all quite camp. So it's actually quite a good fit with disco. And also the other thing, it's a bit like TV farce, really, in the sense that it's not just about space, but it's about the 1976 idea of what space was about. And it's taking cues from all those, and also just before space disco, in early 70s, this is going back to when I was at primary school, I think, like programs like Space 1999 and UFO. I'm probably talking to a really niche audience now here, but
I'm lost.
Yeah, the costumes for them were kind of I'm sure they were meant to look really sexy in the day, but actually at this distance, they look a bit camp and absurd. So I think it's a good combination, is the Panto with space disco, actually. And they meet around the notion of camp, I think.
Okay, yeah, good answer. Lizzie, what's the future for you? What are your plans for the future?
That is a very good question. Absolutely. I've got about 3 different paths and I don't know which one to take yet. So I'm just doing a year out.
Okay. Could you briefly tell me what those 3 paths were?
So I would love to do a second degree in Circa Media in Bristol. The main issue is student financing. They're not too keen on financing second degrees, especially if it's like a creative subject.
Yeah.
So I'm still working on that one, as I don't happen to have another £52,000 just sat in my pocket.
No.
Another idea was maybe do a PGCE and do primary education.
Yep.
But I think that was more of a please my family than like what I want to do.
Oh, don't try and please your family, you know.
No, I think they just wanted like a proper job out of me. I'm not a proper job person. I'm an artistic person.
Well said.
And then the third option was start again on a completely separate degree and try and do that. I was going to do veterinary nursing.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Bit of a leap.
No, completely different, because I was really between the two just before starting. And I still don't know whether I want to still try with Circa Media or go into veterinary nursing. Doing a complete year out. And
yeah, I mean, taking a year out gives you opportunity, of course, to dip your toe in a few waters. Rob is obviously very well connected, yes. But, you know, lots of interesting connections, you know, might be of interest to you, Rob. Yeah,
I'm also very experienced in taking years out as well, as it happens. but I just wanted to point out to Lizzie that whilst the parents might not think it's a proper job, the creative industries, they doubt there are proper jobs in there. And even if you're working for yourself and working freelance, that is a proper job, as the tax man will remind you at the end of every year.
Yes, we all know about them.
so kind of on that topic, Rob, just to say, my daughter, she's starting her degree this autumn, and she's off to Exeter to do drama. Yeah, and you know, as a parent, I'm sure like Lizzie's parents, you know, totally support her. You know, follow your dreams, go. You know, and we'll support you all the way. But it seems like the perception at a kind of I think at a governmental level, really, there's a lack of validation for the more kind of artistic pursuits, and that kind of filters down and causes all kinds of impacts on you know, students like my daughter in the future and Lizzie right now. Rob, what if you think about in particular, I suppose, musical theatre? How do you see the challenges facing it at the moment? What kind of future do you see for musical theatre, and how can we help to improve that future, Rob? I wonder.
Well, the big issue for musical theatre is it's very based around the live experience. So there have been lots of examples of things being streamed over lockdowns, and I, you know, I've even seen a version of Hamilton being streamed, and things that are making massive money in the West End. But musical theatre is a really good example, actually, of what the creative industries are a really major contributor to the economy. Because if you look at the number of musicals that are on in the West End, up in London and touring around the country, it's a big industry in its own right. And it's making a lot of money. Because people who, big entrepreneurs and knights of the realm, like Mr. Lloyd Webber, are really deeply involved in it. And I don't think he would be there if he wasn't doing all right financially out of it. Disney are involved. Disney are one of the biggest musical theatre producers on the planet now. They've taken over all the other... It's all, you know, their dominance of it is almost becoming a bit of an issue, really. But there is a massive industry out there. It's not just musical theatre, all the creative industries. At community level, you know, there's a need for people to get involved with making work that tells the world about their lives and what their lives are like, to go through the experience of working together on things. So even at, you know, at, from the very bottom of the what's perceived as the bottom, the very kind of community focused work that a lot of artists are doing, right up to Hollywood and the West End and Broadway, the creative industries are massive. They bring loads and loads of money into the economy, and to be honest, the government seem to be encouraging everybody to take up the science, engineering and technology things at the moment, but they, you know, those industries, those areas of research and human creativity are also suffering from both Brexit and also from the pandemic. So whilst, and at the same time, they've been required to help us out, obviously massively, over the production of vaccines and things. But I don't think that the government is recognizing the amount of money that the creative industries make, and in Britain that's really, really strongly the case. We bring loads and loads of money into this economy, but I think all the industries are looking a bit perilous. So if you love theatre, why not just do theatre? Because there are, you know, everything could be different in 5 years. So if that's what you love, that's what you should do.
Yeah, that's a great answer, Rob. Thank you. The guy who wrote Coraline,
Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, so Neil Gaiman. Yeah, thanks, Rob. So Neil Gaiman, if you want to check this out, Lizzie, his graduation, he was given an honorary doctorate, and he gave one of the most fascinating and fantastically inspirational graduation speeches I've ever heard. It's also very funny. But it's one bit where he talks about it, and he says, you know, whatever, then I'm saying it to you, I guess, Lizzie, as an example of students going to the future, whatever pitfalls fall your way, whatever disasters come your way, whatever problems and you encounter which you hadn't expected, make great art. Just keep on doing the stuff. And that's the message that comes through from Neil Gaiman. And I'm sure Rob and I would totally support that. You know, just keep on doing it. Keep on making that stuff, you know, because if it's in you, then it should come out. I don't know, Rob, you want to respond to that briefly at all?
Well, yeah, because making that stuff, that's part of the conversation of society. It's part of the conversation that society needs to have about itself and what it's faced up to. So we're up against some massive challenges in the next 10 years. And if people aren't making work about it, then we've got our head in the sand. And it doesn't have to be like all positive and optimistic, because that's as much head in the sand as, yeah, but the conversation needs to be had, and artists lead that conversation quite often.
Thanks, Rob. One final question for Lizzie. What's it been like working with Rob on this project?
Oh, it's been horrible. It's Rob. No, it's because like most of mine's like electronically anyway, like it wasn't massively, it's not like we were sat in an office next to each other for 7 hours, let's just bang this out. But no, it's been good. I'm usually to a point like I'll ask questions, I'll go for a bit, and then like when I'm ready for more questions, I'll come back and ask, kind of thing. And I prefer to, I'm not very good at, say, if someone says like, we have to have a meeting at this time on this day and this day every week, because that might not be when I might be okay at that point. It might be completely fine. So I prefer to, like, when I come across like a hurdle, then like I'll approach you, kind of thing. And he has been quite good at just getting back to me then when I've got a million questions and I want to stab Audacity. Audacity is a program, I never want to hear that word again after editing this project. It was the first time using it, and going from never using the program to doing an hour-long audio drama.
Just to respond to that briefly, as you know, kind of with interest in sound, to use Audacity for what you've done, well done, Lizzie and Rob, and congratulations on the work.
Can I just come in and say something?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's like, it's nice that Lizzie's in this conversation that we're having now, because for all the other students, we all worked really hard on it from throughout October, November, December, and then we went in the studio and recorded it, and then for all the other students, it was done, and then. And then Lizzie took on the job of editing it, and she'd been working for another three or four months on this. Mm. So for all those other guys, the job, it was an intensive 3 months job done.
Yeah.
For Lizzie's had been struggling with it.
I've still been crying in the corner for another few
months. Because we're performing arts students, because they are performing arts students, they haven't got access to the probably industry standard editing suite, which would probably be Pro Tools. So we didn't have access to that. So we had to do the best job we could possibly do with the resources available. And as often, creativity finds a way. And we've ended up with something that I'm really pleased with. And nobody's heard this before either, you know, like all the people who've been working on it, which is Lizzie, me, Andrew Gwilliam, Steve Fisher. Chris Walker's been editing the songs to make them sound great. But apart from those five people, nobody's heard this. So this is a premiere. But as I said, when push comes to shove and you really want to do something, even if you haven't got access to the best gear, the will finds a way.
Yeah. So on that note, thank you both very much for your time, and good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.